Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So welcome in to another edition of Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. My name is Alex Reamer. We have a brand new episode for you this week. It is Saturday, March 9th, and it is International Women's Weekend. Well, Friday was International Women's Day, but we might as well give them the whole weekend. This is a topic that I find very interesting, the disparities in gender in terms of biases and perceptions, and this is a topic that gets talked about more and more. And of course, the center of life is finances, and the gender pay gap, whenever you talk about women's issues, to me remains at the front of the list. One of the most jarring statistics to me is that women still get paid 80% of the dollar on average to their male counterparts, and in certain companies, certain corporations, certain fields, it can actually even be far less than that. And to help us sort through all this, we bring on Natalie Alicia Gold. She is an attorney and also the author of the upcoming book Money Mama, which is due for release next month in April. Her big thing is how women, millennial women in particular, are more independent than ever. They're going to college more than ever, working more than ever, making more than ever, despite the pay gap, but yet not saving for their futures. 59% of millennial women say they still allow their male partners to do the financial planning. According to USA Today, 39% of women ages 18 to 34, so right in the middle of the millennial demographic, say they have trouble paying their bills on time and are less likely than men to be saving. So there's some pretty harrowing statistics, but Natalie has a lot of answers. She joins us on the other side. It's Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. Once again, my name is Alex Reamer. This is definitely a very good interview. I enjoyed conducting it, so hopefully you enjoy listening to it. And welcome back to Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. In the phone lines right now, we have Natalie Alicia Gold. She is the author of the upcoming book, Money Mama. Figured a great weekend to speak with Natalie since Friday was International Women's Day. Natalie, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I am doing well. I am doing well. Thanks again for coming on the show. So I guess the first question is, your book is coming out, Money Mama. It's about what? Just by the title, I would guess women in their financial state. Is that correct? Good guess?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
I've been a wealth and estate attorney for the better part of a decade at this point, and I've helped countless amounts of clients. And then I'm on my hospital bed for the third day in labor, and finally I'm going in for a C-section, at which point what I did finally hit home, and I said, how many women do not have their affairs in order? And God forbid, if they do not come out of that room, or of, you know, or they don't come home one day for whatever reason, what happens to their children? And it became so real to me. And that's why I wrote Money Mama.
So it's a lot more involved than I teased. So tell me a little more about that. What do you mean financial situations in order?
Perfect. So the basics, and really what I'm talking about is a financial plan to be able to save money and look at what, you know, 30 years from now, 40 years from now looks like into retirement. And even more important, I think, is minimizing the risk, which is the legal documents, the will, power of attorney, healthcare proxy, and many people need a trust.
Okay, right. And what is the percentage? Do you have any even sort of estimate about the women who have these affairs in order opposed to men around their age?
So women versus men, no, but actually 64 to 70%, depending on the statistic you look at, of all people in the U.S. die without a will.
Okay. That's quite a high percentage.
Astronomical. And women today, you know, a few days ago, a UBS report came out saying that 59% of millennial women are more likely to allow their spouse to do the financial planning than themselves, which is insane.
45% of millennial women, you said?
59%.
59% are inclined to allow their spouse to do their financial planning and them do it themselves.
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, that's surprising to me, Natalie, because I'm a millennial and we all hear all the time and how women are of my age and our generation are far more independent, but that would tell you that maybe not. What do you read into those numbers?
So, you know what? It's a wonderful thing you said, and I will tell you, I always tell people, we talk about women's empowerment, but we don't do women's empowerment. How possibly could a woman be empowered if she doesn't control her money?
That's it right there. I don't think so. How about that for an answer?
Yeah, and you know, we as women need to educate ourselves on what we need to do to protect our downside. Because believe you me, once a man says, "Don't worry, honey, you're taken care of," which I hear all the time, I make sure to run to that woman and say, "We need to look at everything because I promise you, you're not taken care of." Not because he doesn't want to, not because it's malicious, but just planning is always important and never urgent until it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it happens all the time.
Yeah, and we read all the time, Natalie, about how women, again, of our generation are, you know, there are more women college students, I believe, than men in the United States.
Yep.
So thus more women hold college degrees. And we know women working is at an all-time high. So why do you think there is that disparity?
It's really a few different factors. Number one, like you hit on the head, more women are going to college and getting degrees. That means they're taking on lots and lots of student loan debt.
Mm-hmm.
That debt is paid back at a 7 or 8% interest rate, which is what I call the modern day incarceration, absolute shackles.
Right. And that goes across all genders, not just women.
Across all genders, absolutely. But then what's happening is, or propounding that, our first jobs out of college, we're getting an offer. So let's say the offer is $50,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
The man is much more likely to ask for 55 or 60. The woman is willing to take the 50. What this means in the long term is that next job is going to be at the 6th where the man is at the 8th. Having to negotiate and know their self-worth for more on the front end. And if we don't teach our young women this, then their whole lives is going to be on this trajectory.
Right, because they start 5, you know, to use a football term, they start 5 yards behind, or in some cases 10 yards behind, 15 yards behind, 20 yards behind.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's so huge because, you know, they only give you what you ask for, and even that's not always the case. So if you're starting low, yeah, you seem to be going from a lower realm. I mean, so that's it. So what do you, I mean, I guess this is delving into more psychology, but why do you think that is, that women are more inclined, college graduates, they've gotten their degrees, they have the education, they're just as prepared for these jobs as their male counterparts. Why do you think they are asking for less money out of the gate or, you know, along their professional careers?
Number one is there's no negotiation courses in any college. If you go to a good law school, you're lucky if you can find one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first big issue. The second is that women are told, basically, that if they're too aggressive, they are a not nice word that starts with B.
Right.
And if they're, you know, nice and nurturing, then they're like a nice woman and people want to go with nice women. Well, guess what? I'm not so worried about being nice, which, believe me, I'm extremely nice and love people. I'm worried about protecting women of the future. And to me, being a little bit assertive and getting what you want, I'll shave some nice points off in order to be able to protect my family, save for my future, and make sure that I'm getting my worth.
Yeah. No, it's a trade-off that I would totally buy into. And we see that all the time, Natalie. You know, even if you look at the coverage of politics, when a woman is running for president or a position of higher office, the likability question comes up all the time. You know, is Hillary Clinton likable enough? Is Elizabeth Warren likable enough? Dark clouds hover over Elizabeth Warren's campaign. And men seldom, you know, experience those questions. Just look at our president to see how unlikable you can be and still, you know, achieve the highest political office. So you still see it all the time. In terms of,
and likability is huge. I'm so happy you hit on that.
Sure.
And I will tell you, I do a lot of negotiation training, coaching, even some judging for competitions on the law school level where I go back and I love to do it for my alma mater, which is St. John's, and for, you know. And here's the thing. I teach my students that likability is what wins a competition. So I'm not suggesting that women come out and start yelling and screaming about getting more. I think incorporating the things that make us women, our femininity, our kindness, our compassion, I think incorporating those and then getting more is absolutely what we have to do. We should not pretend to be men. We're women. And what I often tell people is be hard on the issues, be soft on the people.
Can you still be aggressive while doing that? Because a lot of people...
Absolutely.
How so?
So let's say, Alex, you and I are speaking about getting me a position in your company.
Mm-hmm.
And you say to me, Natalie, we would love to offer you the opportunity, and it's at $150,000 salary,
that's
right?
Pretty good.
So I say, Alex, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate where you're coming from. And I love you, and I loved our conversation, and I could see myself being a huge asset to this company. However, I've done my research, and $150,000 simply is not where the market is for my experience, expertise, and skill set, and what I'll be able to bring to this company. So in order to make something happen, we need to be looking at a number closer to a $250,000 amount to make this something that we can start talking about.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't mean, I wasn't nasty, I wasn't yelling and screaming. I was tough on the issues, I did know my worth, and I don't think I left with a bad taste in your mouth.
No.
Look, whether you can pay me that or not, that's irrelevant. If I believe that that's my worth and I know that that's the market for my expertise, then I'm ready to walk. And if you can't afford it, you're ready to walk, but we left in a beautiful way. Now, if you can afford it, because I've done my research and I've seen that actually this company is paying those kinds of rates, and I know that that's not going to turn you off, guess what? I just made myself $100,000 more a year, and you just got yourself an amazing employee who wants to work hard for you.
Right, right, exactly. And that seems like something that even men could use as well. And I think, Natalie, too, you go back to millennials, you know, we grew up in the financial crisis, the heart of financial crisis,
yep,
the late aughts, early 2010s, where jobs,
yep,
were at a premium. And I think a lot of us, and even I have this mentality of, we are just fortunate enough to work and have job opportunities that we don't even think like we should try to negotiate for our fair value. So I think it even goes back to that as well, to go back to your statistic about millennial women.
No doubt. And Alex, my first book was called The Millennial's Guide to the Universe.
Oh, good.
It became the number one bestseller in business entrepreneurship on Amazon. And I speak on college campuses all over. And let me tell you, it's absolutely the mentality. And you know what? It's wrong. Because here's the thing. Everyone is always going to tell you, you're so lucky to have this.
Right.
No, you're not. You worked for it. Look, at 24 years old, I hit the streets of Manhattan and started my own law firm. You think it happened easily? You think I came from... No. My parents didn't give me one dime, but you know what they gave me? A work ethic and knowing I can do it. So I had to build a network ground up. And you know what? The amount of money you can make in your own business as a young person was way more than any company, even a law firm, would be willing to pay me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So in doing that, the amount of confidence I gained in myself and knowing that clients were willing to pay me for my expertise, that's all it takes. It's really just believing yourself. It's confidence.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. If you're not confident in yourself, you can't expect others to be confident in you.
Absolutely.
Now, to go back to, since this is International Women's Day and it's, you know,
yeah,
it's the weekend here, how about the gender pay gap? Because whenever we talk about women finances, it always goes back to that. What's kind of your take on that and how women can combat that in the corporate world or the business world in general?
For this question, I want to quote the notorious RBG, right?
Yes, let's do it.
Because she says that the gender line does not put women on the pedestal, but instead in cages. And the fact that today, in 2019, when we're supposedly such an empowered American country, and women are making 80 cents on a man's dollar, so 20% less, and everything we do costs at least 10% more, if not 10 times more. One instance, Alex, you go get your hair done, it's, you know, a haircut, it costs $10 for the month.
I have a nice haircut, Natalie. I'm at 30-35. Come on here.
Okay, all right, 30. So you're getting a very nice haircut.
Yes, I am.
But guess what? I'm spending around $300 for the same hair getting blown out. Forget the cut. A month. So a man's dollar is stronger than the woman's because we're making 80 cents on it. So we're making 20% less, and we're spending at least 5 to 10 times more on things. And people can say, well, why do you need to get your hair done? Well, look, if you're a young woman today and you're looking for an opportunity and you're looking to go and get a job or you're looking to go and interview, if you don't come in polished, then people are going to think that that's how you do your work, unpolished.
Do you think there's a sexism, though? Like, if a man looks a little unkempt, I'm not sure if those same biases prevail. Maybe they do. I don't know.
I think absolutely there's a bias. I think that no one really cares what a man looks like as long as he is put together enough. And a woman is constantly judged on her looks.
So what would your – I'm interested in this topic just in general. What would your idea be on how to combat that? Because, just speaking out of my rear end, I imagine that some would say, well, why give in to that? You know, why give in to these biases? Why give in to these stereotypes? What's your take on how to combat something like that, these obvious gender biases?
Here's how what my take is. It's imperative. It's not about how much makeup you put on and what your hair looks like. But it's about that no matter what that question is, that you own it. For instance, I'm a shorter woman. I'm 5'1", and you will often find me in 5 to 6 inch heels. And it's not because I have to, but it's because when I'm wearing heels and the way I walk in them and the stature gives me, it makes me feel empowered.
Right.
So it's about each individual person really owning their truth.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We're talking to Natalie Alicia Gold. She's the author of Money Mama. So tell me what else is discussed in this book, Money Mama, Natalie. If I'm a young woman looking to get into business, also raise a family, start a family, what are a few takeaways that I could get from this latest piece of work of yours?
So number one is really just plan well. You have to have a financial plan if you're going to be successful. We plan everything. We spend how much money. Today I was on Yahoo Finance, and I'm saying for our $34 SoulCycle class that we take, we better be putting the same amount of money into our savings.
Okay.
Just make, excellence is not an act, it's a habit. Make saving part of your habit. I don't care if it's $50 a paycheck. But by the time you put it in, and especially if you have an employer match, that money will grow and grow and grow, and you're going to come in kissing that piece of paper and saying, thank you, Natalie, for giving me this advice when I was young and able to really save and have compounded interest add and add and add to my account.
Right.
Next is we really have to be very honest with employers about expectations. I think that a lot of the book also speaks to the fact that everyone wants to say that women are empowered, but when you become a mother, everything changes because I had my own law firm, so I was able to do, what I wanted, take as much or as little work as I wanted, but not everyone has that luxury. And my friends who had to go back right away were honestly going back for one of two reasons. A, they needed the money, or B, they needed the health insurance benefits. And these corporations did nothing for these women. I mean, look, how much would it really cost for big corporations to be able to give daycare services on premises? Maybe a few hundred thousand dollars a year?
Right.
But what would that do for their women employees?
Yeah, it'd be huge.
It would make them, you would never leave. There'd be a line around the block waiting to get into that company.
Right. That's such a great point, and I think it speaks to, and I'll let you finish and rattle off some more, but I think that speaks to the mentality of, the well-being of your employees and well-being of people in general is important. Sure, it may cost a little extra for an in-house daycare service, but then A, as you mentioned, you would attract, presumably, the best workers because of your policies. B, women would feel comfortable going on maternity leave, coming back perhaps earlier than they would have anyway. They can be more productive at work knowing their kids are well taken care of. So to me, that just seems like a win-win. I feel like corporations and companies always win when they treat their employees well rather than skimp on the dollar, but it doesn't seem like a lot of them have figured that out yet or want want to figure that out. I don't know, but that's a great point that you brought up.
And you know what else? I'll tell you too. My husband is the owner, one of the co-founders of a blockchain company that does a lot of work in the digital advertising space. Mm-hmm. And his statistic is that $300 billion with a B, goes to waste in advertising. And brands can't even tell you where that money went. It went to a black hole, okay? So we're worried about spending a few $100,000 to take care of our employees and meanwhile spending all this money in advertising without being able to say where it's going, where it's not.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
There's money out there. It's just about putting it into the right resources. And by the way, when you invest into a woman working in your company, you're investing in the betterment of your company because as a mother, I do no less than 36 things a day because I'm also the CEO of my company and the CEO of my family.
Right.
My husband is running, but I'm running a family, and so is every woman.
Right,
so
exactly.
So we have these skills of being able to manage, being able to delegate, being able to get things done, prioritize our time. Those are the management skills every company is looking for.
Yeah, they definitely are. They definitely are. It just makes sense to me. So we have those. What are some others that that you want to hit home in this book?
The biggest point is that we need to start educating ourselves. Our head has been down beneath the sand for too long. I cannot tell you how many successful women call me crying and saying, my husband took care of the finances and now I'm left with nothing. I don't know what happened. I don't know what to do. And these are successful women who are C-levels at their companies, okay? There is no excuse. We need to start really empowering ourselves fully and understanding the money once and for all. Because if we don't, we're 90% more likely to outlive our husbands. 9 out of 10 women will survive the men. So do we want to start learning those lessons at 80 and 90 years old, or do we want to start learning them in our 20s and 30s?
Yeah, it sounds like a good deal for me. And I'm just curious, again, to go back to the psychology of it, because so many women in their 20s and 30s, you know, rightfully so, are more independent now than ever. They love it. But yet, again, the statistics that you are referencing, 59% of millennial women allow their husbands or male partners to handle the finances, seems to just fly in the face of that. So it seems like quite a contrast that I'm having trouble figuring out.
Absolutely. And it's actually quite astounding. I think that we have a beautiful dialogue going that's been perpetuated by the media, which is fantastic, that women's empowerment and really getting more in life. We are spending a lot more on self-care. So full cycle classes, the Botox, the makeup, all that is getting spent on. What's not getting spent on is time is not going to the financial well-being, maybe because it's a hard subject, maybe because it never was taught, maybe because it's just easier to put your head in the sand. But what I'm telling women is we can no longer do this to ourselves. We cannot allow ourselves to be thrown to the wolves when in our darkest hour because we didn't plan when we had the opportunity. And I will also say that for my 20-year-old women, my 30-year-old women who might be listening, the biggest thing I'm telling people in that age range is you better get yourself an IVF fund going, because many women in their 30s and 40s are not finding the person that they want to live the rest of their life with, but they do want to be mothers.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, what is IVF funding for the layman out there, such as yours truly?
So the in vitro funding.
Okay.
So what's happening today is that women are having to spend anywhere between $50,000 and $100,000 between freezing their eggs and being able to implant them if they want to be a mother on their own terms without finding a spouse. Mm-hmm. And many people never thought they would have a child on their own, but they're seeing that they really have no, you know, they haven't found the right person. They don't want to continue to wait.
Right.
So
right.
Can you imagine having to spend $100,000 just to bring a baby into this world?
No.
By yourself?
No.
And who has that kind of money sitting in a fund just waiting that doesn't have to be spent on rent and all the other things that come up in life?
Well, you read the numbers, Natalie, that the majority of Americans don't even have an extra $400 in the case of emergency, never mind an extra $100,000. Well, and I want to hit on that point, too. So you talk about how, you know, a lot of women, millennial women, and I'll throw their men in there too, are not planning for their futures, and it's easier to bury your head in the sand. And I agree with that to an extent, but also it's because, you know, just the cost of living has not matched up with wages, and it's just really expensive to live. And for women, you mentioned the student debt. You factor into the pay gap that women are still making 80% on the dollar, and it just seems like for a lot of women, unfortunately, the numbers just don't work. I mean, I think a lot of people would like to save. I know I, for example, would like to save more than I do, but the numbers just don't add up.
They absolutely don't work. And the fact is, I think the educational system, needs to take some of the blame. There is no other thing in the last 40 years that has gone up 1,000% except for the cost of college education.
Wow.
1,000%.
Wow.
Have our wages gone up?
Not by that much. No.
Nowhere close.
Wow. That is incredible. And the other issue too is the loans and the banks and the companies that manage these loans and the interest rates. They students can't get a break. And I think you mentioned earlier that it hangs around their neck, and it certainly does.
Look, you can't even get out of it with bankruptcy.
No.
So
no.
How are we as a society able to look ourselves in the mirror when we are telling our young students at 17 years old, take on debt that will last with you for the rest of your life, that you can not eradicate no matter what happens, and it's okay because you want to be, quote, successful? Are you kidding me?
Right. But the thing is, though, Natalie, and I'm curious your thoughts on, as expensive and ridiculously expensive as a lot of college is, it still is the best investment you can make in your future. I mean, you look at the numbers of people with college degrees and people with high school degrees, even in terms of life expectancy, it's night and day. It's like two different countries. So it's that conundrum where you need a college education to succeed in the professional world, but it can be so expensive, it can hamstring you. So it just, I don't know. It's quite a dilemma.
Absolutely. Well, look, here's
what would your
like
solution be?
People.
What would your advice
if
be? Yes.
If you don't know what you're going to do with your life, that's okay. You're 17. You don't have
right.
to have it all figured out. Do you have
to.
It all figured out? I don't.
I still don't, and I'm 26.
Year.
I mean, no, come on, no.
But here's the thing. To spend $50,000 a year plus interest figuring it out is also not okay.
Mm-hmm. So what would you suggest then? Because I have a lot of 17-year-old
ATL. What I suggest is go to, you know, if you don't know, why don't you go take internships and work for free? Or to what extent the law and your state allows you to work, and figure out, is this for you? And if it's not, you'll know real fast.
Right.
And if it is, you just did yourself the biggest favor in the world, because now you have a very clear, direct path of what education you need. You also have an employer waiting in the wings because you did an amazing job for them.
Mm-hmm.
But people are going willy-nilly blind, you know, like blind faith. Like, I'm just going to go and be this major. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what jobs I can get. I don't know if I'll even like it, but I'm going to spend $200,000 plus interest to get it.
Right. Right.
And I'm laughing because this is what everyone does.
Right. And you're also getting that real-world professional experience, which is very valuable.
Look, you know, for me, okay, as a business owner, the hardest thing to find is good people.
Mm.
You think if someone works for me and kills it and is amazing, that I'm not going to say to them, look, you are hired here for life. You tell me what you need to make that happen.
No, absolutely. And last thing, Natalie, would you say that you're optimistic about the path going forward or pessimistic?
Of course optimistic.
Okay,
you know
so.
What? Despite all of these things, it's never been a better time to be a woman. It's never been a better time to be alive. And we, if we come together and do the right planning and do the right things, we can absolutely break every ceiling and empower one another. But women need to be for one another, too. We cannot be tearing each other down. We need to be lifting each other up. And we need honest conversation about how to do it. And I hope that I have done some of that on this beautiful interview.
I'm uplifted, for sure. When's the book out, Natalie?
It's coming out April 16th, which happens to be my favorite day of the year. It's day after taxes, and it's also my birthday.
Oh, well, there you go. The birthday, I figure, a little better than day after taxes. She is Natalie Alicia Gold. She is the author of Money Mama, also an attorney. Natalie, thanks so much for coming on the show. Much appreciated. Great insight.
Thank you so much, Alex. Be well.
Thank you, Natalie. You too. That was Natalie Alicia Gold joining us on the program this week, Boston Community Affairs and WEEI. As always, thank you all for listening. I thought with Friday being International Women's Day, Natalie would be a great guest to have, and she certainly did not disappoint. And you just look at the pay gap. Women get paid 80% on the dollar to men, and she talks about financial planning and paying off college debts and other sorts of debts. And that's hard enough to do as a man. I mean, believe me, I opt out of our company's 401k. I need to get back in. My father is killing me, but I opted out because it's hard to save when you're living almost paycheck to paycheck, as a lot of Americans are. And you factor into the fact, and you factor into it, again, getting paid 80% on the dollar as a woman, it's downright impossible. I mean, I mentioned the analogy to Natalie. It's worth repeating here. It's like women start 50 yards behind the men in a lot of aspects, if not more in certain cases, depending on your background, etc. So certainly a heavy topic. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you have any other topic ideas, you can always feel free to email me, alexr@weei.com. We'll be back with another episode. Thank you all for listening. Boston Community Affairs, have a great rest of your weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.